When I got fired, I didn't even have time to think about the fact that like I got let go. Like I thought about it for like 5 minutes. I was sad for the day. And then that same night, Jermaine Dupri called me while I was at Jeju, a 24-hour spa, and he said, "I need you to come feed Snoop Dogg." And do you know we put our clothes back on after we had settled in, y'all? Put our clothes back on, and I went to feed Snoop Dogg, Lil Duval, and Jermaine Dupri. And at that point, I'm just like, F this job. I needed that to happen because if that didn't happen, I probably would have never gotten this opportunity. And this opportunity helped to propel my business in ways that I could have never imagined.
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss?
Bossy. We have a very, very exciting episode today because we have a very exciting guest today. We have Pinky Cole, the founder of Slutty Vegan.
Yeah, she's a badass.
She's doing a lot.
She's doing a lot. Yeah. She's a badass restaurateur. I'm excited because I think we're gonna get to have a conversation about doing a lot. And I know that a lot of entrepreneurs feel like they're doing a lot and like they're trying to figure out how to navigate that. So Pinky is a Jamaican-American restaurateur. She's the owner of $100 million.
That's count 'em. Nine figures.
$100 million. Slutty Vegan. That's the name of her company. And also there's Bar Vegan too. All right. So she's got a whole empire going here. And she's really known for disrupting the culinary scene by making vegan food really delicious and affordable and accessible to everyone. So she's really crushing it out here. She's got a foundation, the Pinky Cole Foundation. I'm really excited to like dive into all the things that she's working on. Like she's got books. First of all, this book is called Eat Plants B Word.
Oh,
like, get it together.
Well, you can
Eat Plants B. Can we say, are we all declaring ourselves for Eat Plants, bitch? That's the energy. That's the energy that it gives, right? And so I love what you're working on. You also have a book called I Hope You Fail, right? And so I think you're talking a lot about like entrepreneurship, and we're going to talk a lot about kind of like what you are working on and how you're navigating this space. One thing I want to tell you, Pinky, before we start is kind of like our intention with this interview, because we don't want this to be just like a regular, degular, schmegular interview where we just like pepper you with questions. We like this to be like, we talk about topics of entrepreneurship in this show. So we want to like have you join in the conversation with us to talk about like the highs and the lows of it all. So we're going to have a real talk.
Love that.
Sound
well, hi,
good.
Ladies.
Yeah, thanks for coming to hang out with us. Okay, so I want to ask you something to start off, because the name of your restaurant is Slutty Vegan, which is like, it's grabbing the attention. It's provocative, right? It's the Jay-Z
gets
song
the
set.
Going.
Gets the people going. And so I am curious, because I've heard you talk about like how sex and food are like these pleasurable things, and it sort of informed how you name things. Can you talk about why you decided to name your business something that provocative and sort of what was going on in your mind first?
Because I'm crazy. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. I got to be honest. So I'm in my 6th year of business.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who would have thought that a concept that came up in my 2-bedroom, I'm literally just sitting there thinking, and I'm like, Slutty Vegan would turn into what people now know as a household name.
Mm.
So when I think about the origin of like where I was in that space, I was the most focused I've ever been.
Ooh.
I was the clearest I've ever been. I was running 5 miles a day. I was raw vegan. I know. Crazy.
5 miles.
5 miles a day. I was reading a book a day. I was like, I'm not going outside. I'm not going to the bar. I'm not doing none of that. I just want to like build and create.
Yeah.
So I was coming up with different ideas every single day. So when the name Slutty Vegan came about, it literally felt like it came out the sky.
Like you channeled it.
I realized I was in alignment and I was prepared for the purpose and to be able to unlock that purpose, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too spiritual on y'all, but I feel like it was a matter of spirituality that met timing, that met purpose, that you sprinkle all together. And you come up with the concept to help people to reimagine food.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have the idea to say that I want to help people eat better. I'm just like, all right, I got this racy name that as a television producer, I knew people would pay attention to. I'm like, if I call this Pinky's Vegan, anybody.
Yeah.
But if I call this slutty vegan, then I can create a dialogue for people to feel uncomfortable first and then start peeling back the layer to ask questions to see, well, what is this concept about? I got to learn a little bit more. And that's literally how it was born. And, you know, 6 years later, I still get some slack for it. But 95% of the people who hear about the brand get excited because I went against the grain and did what so many people are afraid to do in entrepreneurship.
Let them give you slack. Haters gonna hate because, like, you're killing it. So let them hate. Let them hate. Yeah. So, okay. A lot of the times, I think entrepreneurs would maybe have a moment like you just described. Everything's aligned. The answer comes in. It's clear to you. But then they, like, cover up the clarity with self-doubt. So then it's no longer clear. And it sounds like you were not in this moment then. Do you feel like you consistently are in these moments of, like, confidence, no self-doubt, or does it ebb and flow?
You know, it's funny because up until recently, the self-doubt didn't start to come in. And I'm going to be honest. If we're going to keep it real, I'm going to keep it
honest. Yeah.
For the last almost 6 years, I've been totally confident with, you know, the business. I've been confident about everything. Everything is moving and shaking. But then the economy hit, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, what was once upon a time just smooth sailing, now you really got to lock in more than ever because the world is virtually falling apart in front of our eyes, right? Yeah. So that affects businesses. It affects restaurants. People are emotional eaters. So they're finicky sometimes. Sometimes they want to eat. Sometimes they don't want to eat. There's no more PPP loans, right? People aren't getting money like they used to, right? So, like, the climate has changed in business. And if anybody is a restaurateur here, you know that that is one of the hardest businesses to be in.
Yeah.
So when I look around and everybody else in my industry are closing their doors, right? And everything is shuttering and people aren't, you know, as popular as they used to be. They're not making the revenue as they used to be. Now I got to sit back and I'm like, ooh, I'm getting a little nervous, right? And that's just a natural human emotion. Yeah. So oftentimes now I got to catch myself like, no, Pinky, you know what you created, you know what you got. You know that you are worthy. You know that you bring the value. And even though everything around you is closing, you have the opportunity to continue to open. So, yeah, there's something called beautiful fear for me, right? It's scary as hell every single day, but I treat it like a marathon. I wake up every day. I'm like, all right, Pinky, how are we going to conquer the world today? It's like Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah, Pinky, yes.
No pun intended, right? So I get to do that. And although it's scary, it's worth it because at the end of the night, I'm like, all right, I conquered another day and I can wake up tomorrow and do it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you've referenced the way that, you know, being a restaurateur is one of the hardest industries to be in. It's kind of an industry that has, like, notoriously slim margins. It's a very hard space to operate in. And I'm curious, back in that kind of confident phase where you felt very in alignment and even the name just kind of seemed to fall out of the sky, almost like you're channeling this other thing, was that element of running a restaurant business an active thought in your mind, or were you so pulled to that grander vision that it was like, oh, I'm not even really concerned about this?
That's a good question. I was just talking to one of my friends about that. I was talking to them about how Slutty Vegan was the vessel, right? Yeah. I'm a dot connector. I'm the person. I like to bring people together. I don't care if you black, white, blue, yellow. Like, it makes me feel good to know that people can coexist in the same spaces and be from different socioeconomic backgrounds, look different, act different, talk different. If I can be the glue that can bind everybody together, then that's a win for me. Mm-hmm. But Slutty Vegan was and is the vessel to do that. When you come to my brand, you see people from all around the world coming to Slutty Vegan. And I'm like, this is bigger than just food. Yeah. This ain't about burgers, pies, and fries. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I didn't know that when I created Slutty Vegan. In my mind, I'm just like, okay, I want to create a concept because I want to eat some food on a late night. And I'm tired of eating a side salad and fries from Chick-fil-A because there's nothing else for me to eat. So I'm creating this concept, fulfilling a personal need, not realizing that I'm solving a universal problem. Right? A couple of universal problems. I'm bringing people together and I'm helping people to see food differently. And then now it's just not about food that you consume, like the physical form of it. It's intellectual food. It's emotional food. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as I grew in business, all of the things and my purpose and the intention has evolved over the years. And I'm just happy to just be the anchor of it all. Like, when you think about veganism, it ain't many people that you think of. You think about Tabitha Brown, you think about Pinky Cole, right? Yeah. And Pinky Cole's got a restaurant. So, like, I am using that as a vessel to be able to, like, reach the masses. And that part feels so good to me.
What I'm not hearing you say, though, is that you were like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to, like, model out my business plan.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run all...
I didn't.
And I'm going to run all the numbers and I'm going to know all my margins. Like, that's not the energy that I'm hearing was what was happening at the beginning.
I'm not that girl. And again, I can only be honest, right? Yeah. You know, another CEO will probably come in here like, yes, my mic, that ain't me, right?
But there's a lot of people like you trying to be that girl and struggling to, like, oh, I think I have to be that person who's good at the numbers, who knows the margin, who I have to force it.
And once upon a time, I used to stress myself out because that is not a world that I love to live in. It's boring to me. Like, I'm passionate about people. I'm passionate about my project. I want people to have a good experience to keep coming to the restaurant. And I had to realize that you're going to have to get people as smart or smarter than you to do the things that you're not interested in doing.
Yeah.
So now I've learned the art of delegating. So I'm bringing in the people that can focus on the numbers. Now I'm watching my money now, let's be clear, right? But I'm bringing in the people that's going to focus on the numbers, that's going to help focus on the strategy. And I can do what I've been doing for the people. I didn't create this company to make money.
Mm.
You know, I don't know if you know a lot about my backstory. I was a casting director before I created Slutty Vegan. So I'm making $5,000 a week, which at the time was a lot of money, okay, for somebody to, and who's not an entrepreneur in that moment. So creating this concept wasn't a money play. It was really a play because I just like people to feel good. If I created something and it makes you smile, like, I'm pumping my chest. I feel like Rocky. You know what I'm saying? And I've been able to do that and focus on the things that I love and bring in the other people that like the tech and the numbers and all of that stuff. I'm like, okay, y'all can keep that. That's necessary to keep the business running. But if I can focus on the experience, then it's a win-win all the way around.
To be honest, so many of the entrepreneurs that I know that are, like, just really scaling, really running, have large businesses, they are like you. They're not in the weeds of the numbers and, like, all the details. They are the vision director who says, like, here's what we're making. Here's what I got. I downloaded as the vision. Here are the people who are going to help me with this. And they kind of continue being in that space. I actually think that, like, most of my friends are the biggest businesses. That's the kind of role that they play. And it's so interesting because we think that you have to, like, force yourself
effort
into
through it. Yeah.
Effort through getting good at some of the stuff that you're not good at. And I'm not really hearing, Pinky, like, I'm not hearing you say that at all. So I'm curious how you find people to help you then. Like, for example, if you bring on someone to do the numbers, but, like, or to do the tech or to do the whatever it is that's maybe not your zone of genius, how do you know that they're even good at what they do to help you? Like, how do you know that kind of thing to get the right person on board?
It's not an immediate, you know, and I don't always get it right. I'm gonna be honest. Okay. You know, hiring people is like getting into a relationship with somebody. I'm sure that y'all have been, and if y'all haven't, good for you, but I'm sure that we've all been in a bad relationship a time or two. Right. Mm-hmm. But in those relationships, you learn the things that you want. You learn the things that you don't want. And then you identify that, like, okay, all right, I got to do better the next time. And that's really what has happened to me as I evolve in business. Like, I used to strictly just hire people off Instagram. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but that's also not the best idea either, right? But I have brought in people that were fantastic. And then I've also brought in people that were entitled to my business and felt like it was there. So obviously that caused friction too. But over the years, what I realized is you have to bring in people that have the same ethos and mindset and are in alignment with you. I'm not saying they got to be vegan, but you got to be a dreamer like me. You got to have heart like me. You got to be a grizzly bear like me. And if you're not that, then we won't work because I'm aggressive in personality, right? Like, I'll do the impossible. Somebody tell me no. All right, what I got to do to make it a yes? Like, I'm that kind of person. And that's the kind of energy that will work around me. And then I just got to have that one realist. Okay. That one
just
realist.
One.
Okay. Just one. I don't need more than one. I'm going to give you that one person. And that one person is going to say, okay, you got these big ideas. Let me crunch these numbers. Let me see if this really makes sense.
Yeah.
And then allows me the opportunity to make the decision if I want to move forward in something or not. But it has been a work in progress. Now I finally feel like I've come to a great place. Again, in my honesty, I had a lot of employees once upon a time. Just recently, we did a lot of layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We let go a lot of people because we had to trim the fat. right? And the biggest companies had to do that. But what I realized in trimming the fat, the core of who I have now and that foundation, they work hard enough for two people at a time. So now it's not a matter of just getting bodies. It's a matter of getting people who have the right skill set, the right mindset, the right wherewithal, so that they can help me take this company to a $1 billion brand.
I was going to ask about that. If you had to do layoffs before, and you strike me as such a decisive person and someone who trusts their gut and has a very close relationship with their own instincts. And so when you in the past had maybe brought people into that inner circle who maybe some time passes and you start to realize this was a mistake, this person should not be in the inner circle, they're actually not who I thought they were, or I need to. How quickly do you feel like you can, are you someone who's going to act fast on that? Or how has that been for you in navigating those corrections?
This feels like therapy. This is good. So listen, let me tell y'all, all of this stuff is happening in real time.
Yeah.
So recently I had to lay off all of my day ones. Right. Ooh. Do you know that was worse than a real life breakup, because these are the people that have seen you at your lowest and also the people that have seen you at your highest. And in my mind, these were the people that were going to go to the moon with me.
Yeah.
If it's being metaphorically, right? But when I had to lay them off, and not so much lay off, I gave them an option. Like,
yeah,
you can either have a food truck and be your own franchisee, and you'll be my first franchisee. You make a big story about it. Or you could take a severance. My day ones took the severance, and I cried.
Yeah.
You hear me? I cried because these are people that are not employees to me. These are my family members. But then what I also realized, and I'm speaking on myself too, there's a certain time in your life when you have people professionally working with you that may hit their glass ceiling. If they're not constantly evolving or growing or wanting to be professionally better in that space, or they might just be tired, mm-hmm. then at that point, you got to sever the relationship. And it is hard for me to let go. I am loyal to a fault, but I'm literally just over the grieving process of letting, and we're still cool. We still have good relationships, but now I have a new fresh energy in the business, and that new fresh energy is challenging me all over again. They're coming with fresh ideas. They're making me think about the business in a different way. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, even though it hurt, there was the sun at the end of the tunnel. I saw the light. I see the light now. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm in a better space now, because I'm like, all right, I can reignite the flame of my business all over again, because I got some new flame and some new fire that's ready to go the distance with me.
I love that you said that this is kind of like therapy, because so much of like working through the highs and lows of entrepreneurship, like you have to be working with yourself to get you through this. We often like joke on the show about like entrepreneurship being this like boxing match, and like you just get hit, pop, and you've got to like recover from it. And then you get hit again. And like, you just kind of are like in this boxing match trying to like keep your footing, right? Like that's the real deal, that like you do not get told how much resilience is required and how many seasons you're going to go through. So I'm curious for you, like, what kind of season are you in right now for having just sort of a real heartfelt conversation as an entrepreneur?
I am. Okay. So I don't know if y'all knew this, but I've been pregnant for the last 4 years.
Girls. Almost. Wow. So,
I've been pregnant in 2020. I had a baby in 21. I had a baby in 22. I had a baby in 23. Okay.
You're not playing. So, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So I've been pregnant for a long time. So I have, for the last almost 2 years, I've been running my business from the outside. So like, I've been doing thought leadership interviews. Like, I've always consistently done that. But I stepped outside of the physical side of the business to be the mascot for the brand, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the season that I'm in now is, I had my baby December 12th. Now I'm fully back in the business. So it's almost like I'm a new hire all over again, because like the business has my full attention and my full focus. And my season is, you can never take your hand off the wheel. And for any entrepreneur that is watching this, it's so necessary to always keep your hand on the wheel, right? Mm. Because I took my hand off because obviously there are people in the business that I trust to do what it is, but nobody can do what I do. I don't care how good you are. As the CEO of your company, nobody can do what you do, especially if it's your vision. So now I'm in a space, I'm in grizzly bear mode. Like, I got my hands in everything. I want to know what's going on here. I'm cooking. I'm in the kitchen. I'm making items. I'm changing the menu. Like, I'm just putting my energy and my expertise back in the brand that I created in 2018. And it feels so good. It's challenging, yeah. Right? But it's the best feeling in the world because I don't have to look from the outside looking in and say, okay, what's going on? And people are telling me what's happening in my business day to day. I'm in it day to day. And yeah. That's the best feeling in the world. So that's where I'm at.
I was going to ask what keeping your hand on the wheel meant to you. So that's interesting that it's almost that physical presence or, like you said, yeah. The difference between being in it versus having to be told what's going on.
Yes. And it's like you can be in it or you could be in it right
in
now.
It. Yeah.
In it. Mm-hmm. I've always been in it. I want to be clear. I've always been in it. Right. Every decision I sign off on, yeah. Every check. Right. But I'm talking about like in it, touching my employees all over again. Right. Stepping inside of the stores and like making sure that everything is good instead of like my COO just doing it all. Yeah. Like I want to have eyes on everything now. And I hope that this is a message to entrepreneurs that are paying attention to this, because you got to just lock in and stay locked in until you reach your goal. And whatever your goal is, if your goal is to sell your company, if your goal is to scale it, if your goal is to franchise, you got to be in it no matter how hard it is. And granted, I was able to build my family, but what did Beyonce say? Like, I had a couple babies, now I'm back to business. Like, that's where I'm at right now. Back to business.
Back to business. You know, what is really interesting about sort of the playbook that's kind of like, I'm kind of reading between the lines of what you're saying. And a lot of times we talk about, okay, here's the playbook for entrepreneurship, which is not the real thing. You go, you start a business, you delegate everything, and then you never get your hands back dirty into the details. It is one and done, you delegate and you're done. That's kind of like the story that we talk about. And I'm hearing you shed some truth about it, which is like, first of all, businesses have peacetime and wartime. All right. And so sometimes it is useful, even if you have delegated, to be like, hold on, we're in a different season. Let me roll up my sleeves. What are y'all doing in here? Oh, I need to like insert my energy back in yes. this period of time. And maybe there's going to be another season where you pull back again and it's an ebb and flow. It's not like delegate and we're all done. Business, yeah. Business story over.
Yeah, you hit it on the nose. That's literally exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. That doesn't mean that anything is wrong, but it's okay to just put your eyes back in it. Like you said, each season can be different, but the season I'm in, my hands are all over it. And I'm excited about it because, like, I love to create. Yeah. I love to build. That's what excites me. You know, and this is also a truth. There was a time in my business that I fell out of love in business. Entrepreneurs ain't really going to say that out loud.
No. Nope.
Right? We fall in and out of love with business. Like, something like, it started to feel like work at a certain point. Oh.
And you got to pretend that you're still in love to the whole
and
rest of the team.
You got to pretend that you're still in love. But it's just like a regular relationship. Like, I love my husband, but sometimes I don't like his ass. You know what I'm saying? But like, at the end of the day, like, you have to like channel back in. Mm. And I'm channeling back into the relationship. So like, I'm dating Slutty Vegan again. Like, I got butterflies in my stomach. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about you when I go home.
Oh,
you
seem so energized about it, which is so beautiful. Like, you can feel that coming off of you.
It feels good because I'm like, I know, like, my business missed me and I miss my baby too. You know? Like, and that's a great feeling.
We'll be right back to the conversation after a quick break. Okay, back to the show. Pinky, you had mentioned in your answer about seasonality and kind of this message to entrepreneurs about staying kind of focused on this goal. And I'm curious what that goal is for you right now. Is it a $1 billion business? What is that overarching vision or goal that you are personally driving toward?
My goal in the season, in this moment, is to make sure that my business will not become a cautionary tale. Mm. And that's deep. Right. And I know that probably went over somebody's head that's listening to this. But the industry that I'm in, there is not many of us left. Yeah. Right. Like, if you just look at restaurant news, like, a lot of the vegan restaurants have closed. What has sustained us is that we have a very popular brand and people love us and they continue to love us and they support us and do exactly what it is that we need to do. But veganism is not as trendy as it used to be. right? Mm-hmm. So it's my responsibility as a vegan, as a woman, as an entrepreneur, to show people that what I have is not just a vegan movement. I got a movement of collective innovation that brings people together, that helps people like food that so happens to be vegan. And if I can continue to do that at a mass scale, then I've won. Ideally, I would love that to translate into it being a billion-dollar brand. Mm-hmm. But as I shift and elevate as an entrepreneur, I just want people to know that, like, what was created was not created in vain, right? Yeah. It was created to support and help people internally and externally, and show people that this is a movement beyond just food. So that is the season that I'm in, and I'm excited about that season. You know, in business, every year is different. I'm still opening locations. I have big announcements coming. The business is growing. It's like a kid. Like, my baby is 5 and a half. So, you know, any 5-year-old is like in between maturity and adolescence still, right?
Awkward.
So, like, awkward. It's the awkward phase. So it's like, now I'm just trying to find a sweet spot in that awkward phase in my business. So that it can continue to grow. So, like, my 5.5-year-old is being the big sister, big brother that it needs to be, but there's some kinks, but I'm excited about those kinks because it makes me a better entrepreneur. And it's going to ensure that everybody who wants to start a business will use me as a springboard to identify and understand what to do and not to do in business.
I want to share with you, too, though, that, like, regardless of things that happen with the business and sort of the highs and lows of it all, you already have created the opposite of the cautionary tale. Like, that's done. So check mark on that. Like, I think sometimes we think, like, oh, like, I'll get to that. Like, the way it's going to end, it hasn't ended yet. And of course, you're still going. You're building your business. You're growing. But I just want you to know that you've already done that. And by sharing your story, like, you really are giving great example. And I think there's a nuance here of, like, the great example that you're giving, at least to me, of, like, what great leadership looks like in wartime, right? Because there's a lot of stuff changing with the economy right now. And a lot of entrepreneurs, big and small, are like, what are we going to do right now? Like, what is the play? And I'm watching sort of what you're modeling. So first of all, your attitude. Right. Like, you're not in, like, oh, like, here's what I got to do. Here's it. Like, you're like, all right, I have energy about it. And I can imagine how this, like, excited energy about the, like, the sweet spot, the sweet part of all the changes. Right. The sweet part of the layoffs, the sweet part of all the things that are kind of going and changing and moving. You're infusing that energy, but, like, here's the exciting part. And I can imagine if I'm working on your team, for example, how I would be excited by that. Like, okay, I see what we're going to do next. So, like, that's a great example for folks who are listening and watching about, like, what kind of energy to bring when there are a lot of changes, right? That's the first thing I'm hearing you say. And the second thing I'm hearing you say is this willingness to, like, roll up your sleeves and get back in. This is something that I'm doing right now with my own business. I had to let a couple people go, and I'm like, I'm going to take on a lot of those roles and, like, roll my sleeves up and, like, we're going to do it together, because that's the energy that the business needs right now. And I'm pretty sure you and I are not the only ones in this season going through that at all. Like, Katie and I, like, have these texts like, girl, it's a lot right now. Okay. It's a lot right now.
We're going to do it. We're going to get through it.
But we're going to get through it. Yeah. And so, like, I appreciate this sort of, if you're listening to this only, I would recommend that you watch, come on YouTube or come watch it, because there's some nonverbal elements of, like, what you get to see and how Pinky is projecting her leadership too, that are just, like, really useful. Like, how does a woman show up strongly and confidently in all of it? So thank you for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm curious about, you've been through a lot of changes, like, not just with this business becoming so, I don't want to say, like, on the map, but, like you said, it's a household name now. Like, you own a $100 million business. You have had 3 children in 3 years, 4 years. Oh. So it's, I mean, you've gone through a lot of changes in a pretty, like, abridged period of time. And I'm curious if the way that you think about or define what success looks like for you in your life now, when you reflect back on the person that you were running 5 miles a day and super locked in, and, you know, you weren't a mom yet, I don't think, and you didn't have this business yet. So it's like, as you reflect back on that person and what that Pinky thought success was, how does How does this pinky think about it?
That's a great, y'all got really good questions.
We're in here doing founder therapy, entrepreneur therapy, girl.
So it's interesting because in the process of all of that, I got married.
Yeah. So another change.
Having kids and getting married. So now I'm a wife. I got to be domestic. Okay. I got to
stay. No, you don't.
All of the things. Okay. So like it has never stopped. Right. So not even so much of the success, like the difference in success. My behavior has changed as an entrepreneur. I used to be very, very militant. It was as the CEO of my company, it used to be, it's my way or the highway. If you don't like it, you can leave. Right. I'm not that way anymore. And my day ones, they always tell people like, oh, old Pinky was crazy. New Pinky was soft and nice. But old Pinky was just very abrasive, right? And it's funny, my husband said something early today, and he said, it's better to be loved than to be feared. And people feared me in business, right? I wasn't hitting on nobody, but I'm like, I was very straight, direct. Like, if you didn't like it, you can leave, you can quit. Like, zero tolerance policy for anything. Like, very matter of fact. But after I started having kids, y'all, I just got soft. I'm like, I'm very patient. Like, now I don't let nobody take advantage of me, but I have more empathy to situations. I'm more understanding because I got to be patient with my kids. Okay. When they want to like run around like crazy and don't want to go to sleep and it's 10:30 and you want to watch Coco Melon and Miss Rachel all day long. And I just want you to like lock in and go to sleep. Like, I got to be patient.
Yeah.
So I am transferring the skill sets that my children are teaching me, and I'm applying it to the workplace. And I didn't realize that until recently because, you know, in business, as the leader, people will try to test you directly or indirectly, right? And the old me be ready to throw them hands, right? But the new me, the new corporate me, okay, I just handle situations a lot different. And it's actually better for my mental health. I used to get so worked up when things didn't go my way. Mm. And now, like, you know what? These things are happening for a reason. If somebody is not compliant or doing what I need them to do, then I could just replace you. You know, there's a saying, one monkey don't stop no show. I just find somebody else. I replace you with somebody better.
Yeah.
And my children did that for me. So when you talk about success, that is a inner success for me. Forget the money, because now I'm better to maneuver and navigate as a better leader. And it's helping my retention rate. It's making more people want to work and stay at my company because they're not looking at a beast, but instead they're looking at a hero.
Yeah. Love
grizzly
that.
Bear.
The grizzly. It's a different kind of energy.
Different kind of grizzly.
And you can apply the grizzly in different areas is what I'm hearing you say. Like, it didn't go away. That energy didn't go away. It's just kind of being applied in different places. So if we were to project into some like future and like play in the future a little bit, let's say you're starting a new business all over again. You cannot start the same kind of business though. So it has to be something different. We're just playing. It's hypothetical. What are you starting?
I would do a TV show where I'm helping struggling brands fix their business. So I'll give you an example. What I would do is I would take a business, Pinky's Cupcake Shop. I would go in and I would change their logo.
Yeah.
I would go in and I would change their website. I would taste all the items on the menu and I would do a focus group and have people taste it and rate all the items 1 through 10. Yeah. And I would put the top 3 items on the menu. And then I would get some influencers, right, to taste the menu and like go on social media and like everybody's talking about this cupcake and make it, you know, get a photographer to do some really, really pretty pictures and then make Instagrammable business and then have a whole new grand opening, get a publicist, right, to talk about how Pinky's Cupcakes is giving 5% of the proceeds to the Pinky Cupcake Foundation, okay, for little girls in the inner city community who want to be bakers when they grow up. And then we would do a think tank at the end and show a case study of how we transform this business from A to Z. That's what I would.
Sounds like you thought about this before.
Write that down. I swear to God, that came off the top just now.
No, it didn't.
Hand to my children.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I was like, oh, she's got this. Well, this is cooking. This project's already in the works. She's thought about this before. Because that kind of marries your two areas of kind of passion and expertise, it seems like.
I like helping people. I can look at something. So I have this event that I do called American Sesh. And that's exactly what I do. It's not a show, but like I help people like give them ideas on how to like change their business. And I'm like, I could really do this for a living. Like I could make this TV show. And it's almost like restaurant makeover, like a restaurant impossible where you go into a business, but I would do that. But obviously my empathy would be in it. Right. And I would help transform a business and do a whole re-grand opening at the end, because I have built my name up as this entrepreneur who everything that I've ever touched turned to gold. So that's what I would do. If I could do anything else, I would probably do something like that.
So you were working in TV before, no? I think you mentioned this.
I did. What? So I was a producer for The Maury Show.
Yeah.
And a couple other shows.
For The Maury Show?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So good. Wow. Okay. Is there any element of that kind of work that you put into Slutty Vegan? Like, are they completely separate things, or are there overlaps? Because sometimes I think we find, like, in our careers, mm-hmm. there's these overlapping elements. I'm curious.
So you, again, great question. Everything that I do on a marketing side in Slutty Vegan, I owe it to one, my creativity, and the fact that I've worked in TV. What I've learned in TV, and y'all would know this, is there has to be care factor. Why do we care?
Yeah.
Like why do we want to pay attention to this? What is the selling point? What is going to make me lock in? What is going to make me not turn the channel? And I learned that working in TV. And then most importantly, I learned how to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. So if you know, my business does not cater to vegans. My business caters to the meat eater. So I'm not saying if you eat that chicken, I'm going to throw some paint on you. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is come as you are. Yeah. This is a safe space. And I'm going to give you what I got. And if you like it, you can come back for more. And I don't lead with veganism. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when we talk about the brand, I am very intentional about using and applying my skill set from working in a TV. Like, you know, working at the Maury Show, it's just like you running after people with a camera and like you making sure that it's reading and the audience will like. So I care about what the people think. I care about reviews. In TV, they care about what the people think. They care about the reviews. If you get a 0.5, that means your show ain't doing that good. You got to change some things around. But if you get a 0.8 or a 1 million viewers per episode, then you're doing all right. So like I've literally transitioned that skill set that I learned from TV and applied it over to Slutty Vegan. And it has worked for the last almost 6 years. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Is there like an unfair advantage that you would say, like, I talk about this concept with my friends a lot about our unfair advantage. Like everybody's got an unfair advantage, a thing that you're good at that maybe not everybody is good at. Right. If I think about myself, like there's a couple little like unfair advantages that I have that I can like leverage in entrepreneurship. I'm really creative when it comes to visual stuff. I have both like creative brain and logical brain. I'm a good strategist. Like there's a couple things that are like unfair advantages that I get to like leverage and use. So I'm curious, as you're telling us these sort of overlaps, how you see your own unfair advantage.
I don't think it's an unfair advantage, to be honest.
It's fair.
I believe that everybody has a gift.
Yeah.
My gift is that I can put people together. Your gift is that you have a creative eye. Yeah. Somebody else's gift might be that they have a sense of fashion. Yeah. Somebody else's gift may be they have the voice of reason, or they have the gift of gab. It's how you apply that gift to what you're doing.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And if you don't properly apply that gift, then yes, it's an unfair, like, you won't be able to do the things that you want to do. I just know how to utilize my gift. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, like, we all have a purpose. We just have to know how to unlock it. And that purpose is rooted in the thing that you know how to do very well.
Yeah.
Remember, veganism is not just a fad for me. Like, I haven't eaten meat since 2007. So this is who I am. This is how I wake up, how I live, how I breathe, how I die. Like, I don't play about veganism. This is what I do, right? I'm not like, oh, let me get a little chicken gravy. I'm not that girl. But I've been able to apply my creativity to the gift of wanting to live a holistic lifestyle. And that's how it's always worked for me. So I feel like everybody got it. You just got to know how to use it. And, you know, it's not that it won't be that it'll be an unfair advantage. You're just tapping into the gift that God gave you.
There is a theme that has come up now a couple times that I'm picking up on, which is that sort of finding, I don't want to call it a silver lining, but kind of seeing the exhilarating fresh start in endings. And I know that you had said in the past that getting laid off or getting fired was like the best thing that ever happened to you, which is such an interesting storyline to me as like a plot point in your life. Because when I look at you now, this like hyper accomplished entrepreneur who is so confident and has such a strong vision and is just so rooted in their purpose, and I think back to imagining you getting like laid off from a job, it's hard for me to bridge that gap between those two people. And but it's like it is the same person. So I'm curious to hear more about that and how you kind of think about that as a formative, like, do you look back on that moment as like a turning point? Was that the thing that jump started your entrepreneurial ambitions, or was that something that was always inside of you that you kind of, where it was like latent? How do you think about that?
I never got fired from a job in my life up until that point.
Yeah.
I was always the one that was leaving. And it was because I've always been an overachiever. If I'm going to work for you, I'm going to give you 1,000%. They're not going to know who the CEO is and who the worker is. I've always had that kind of energy because my name is the currency, not the money. My name and my reputation has always meant more to me than anything else. So anytime I apply myself to any situation, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to run circles around everybody. I'm just naturally that way. And it feels good to be recognized for your good efforts. And I always love that feeling. Maybe that's a little bit of trauma that I haven't unlocked yet. However, I love to be recognized for my hard work, whether it's me recognizing it for myself or people see the good that I do in the world, right? That just feels good to me. So when I got fired, I was at a space in my life that was like a fork in the road. I had built Slutty Vegan. Slutty Vegan was popular. Like, I'm talking about, like, so many people, 500 people running behind my food truck. Mm-hmm. And then I was still running a company where I was working for somebody else. And I had about 6 employees under me. So, you know, there's a saying that you can't serve 2 masters. I truly believe that. Because while I was still doing the work, my 100% that I would give normally ended up being 90%. And people saw the difference. You know, if you see somebody that's just a super achiever that goes out and gets everything that she wants, and then just a little bit something goes down, you're like, okay, something is going on. I see something different.
You know,
so they created an expectation for me that was up here. And when it dropped just a little bit, they started to pay attention. But it was because I was putting more emphasis into Slutty Vegan. So when I got fired, although I was bummed out at the time, I needed that to happen because it gave me the opportunity to really take this business serious. Remember, I had no idea that Slutty Vegan was just going to like boom overnight like that. So for it to go as fast and hard as it did early in the beginning, when I got fired, I didn't even have time to think about the fact that like I got let go. Like I thought about it for like 5 minutes. I was sad for the day. And then that same night, Jermaine Dupri called me while I was at Jeju, a 24-hour spa. Okay, I done took the bath already and everything. I got my robe on. I'm eating my noodles with my team members. Like, we worked all day. And he said, I need you to come feed Snoop Dogg. And do you know we put our clothes back on after we had settled in, y'all? Put our clothes back on. And I went to feed Snoop Dogg, Lil Duval, and Jermaine Dupri. And at that point, I'm just like, F this job. Yeah. I needed that to happen. Because if that didn't happen, I probably would have never gotten this opportunity. And this opportunity helped to propel my business in ways that I could have never imagined.
But what you did is you lined up the opportunities because you were at the job. You also had started was maybe kind of like the side thing, right? And you had gotten that going, which is an interesting sort of playbook for folks who are listening, who are like, oh, it has to be either the job or the work. Eventually it will be that, but you kind of overlapped for a minute so that you could have that stepping stone, it sounds like.
Yeah, I overlapped, and you know, the universe will tell you what to do, right? Like, if I didn't get fired, I probably would have stayed a little bit longer, right? I probably would have stayed a little bit longer, but then I realized that like the universe was telling me like it's time.
Yeah.
And you got to be okay with knowing that it's time.
Yeah.
That was a word for somebody in the audience. Okay. Somebody that's watching this.
It's time.
Sometimes the universe will tell you when it's time.
Yeah.
You got to take your hand off the wheel for a second and be patient with the understanding that when it's time, it is time. And you can't fight that time. Like there's going to become a moment in time where one day I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know that I want to run Slutty Vegan by myself anymore. Maybe I want to bring in a hospitality group to be able to do what it is that I can no longer do. And then I'll know when it's time.
Yeah.
And when it's time, I'm going to take my hands off the wheel and allow time to do what it needs to do.
Preach. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, we're going to play a little game here if you want to play a game with us.
I think you'll like this, Pinky.
Okay. You know that game F, Marry, Kill?
Yes.
Okay, okay. So we're going to play our own bossy version of that, which is Invest, Compete, Acquire. So we're going to give you three companies. She's feeling it. She's feeling it. Okay.
I knew she was going to like it.
Yes, you called it. Okay, so we're going to give you three companies, and you have to, like, decide if you're going to invest, compete, acquire. Which one you're going to invest, compete, and acquire.
Copy that.
Sound good? Okay. So your choices are Beyond Meat, which I know you know what Beyond Meat is. For the audience, just in case anyone's unfamiliar, they're worth over $460 million. It's a public company founded in 2009, and they specialize in plant-based proteins. Your second option is Oatly. So their current revenue is $722 million. That's actually kind of amazing to me because the brand is like oat milk. So, and other dairy alternatives. And then Dew, the vegan cookie dough brand launched by Sabina Latta. Super new brand. I think it came out in 2020. Revenue $5 million as of 2022. They're very strong on TikTok and Instagram. And you can, like, find them in Whole Foods, Erewhon, stores like that. So invest, compete, acquire. Where do you want to put your own money in? Where do you want to compete, you know, head-to-head with them? And where would you buy them, pluck them up, and put them in your portfolio of brands?
So I would invest in the milk company.
Oatly.
In Oatly. I'd invest in Oatly because they have a potential to become a $1 billion brand if they're making that kind of revenue already, right?
Yeah.
And we know that everybody loves coffee. I would invest in that brand and create partnerships with Starbucks to put Oatly inside of every single Starbucks in America and Dunkin' Donuts, so we'd be the preferred vegan milk option, okay? Mm. For vegans and non-vegans alike. So I would invest in Oatly.
Beautiful.
I would acquire Beyond Meat. I would acquire Beyond Meat, even though right now they've had a dip in business, but that's a direct plug to my restaurant company, right? I own Slutty Vegan. I sell patties. So I can monopolize off the market and take their already existing operation, right? Fold it into Slutty Vegan and use Beyond Meat on all of my products. And then I already got the chain of retail that they already have all across the country. Mm-hmm. So now we have Slutty Beyond products across the country. It allows me the opportunity to extend my brand to the masses, and it accelerates my brand bigger. And then it takes my valuation plus their valuation, and you add it together, and I get even closer to be a $1 billion brand, right?
Know how she's thinking, y'all. Watch how, see how she's thinking.
Beyond Slutty.
There's clear branding campaigns being put in place. There's clear, I love this as like an illustration of like how you can think.
Yeah.
Okay, so give us the last one.
So then I would, the last company is the cookie company, right?
Yes,
are they
yes.
vegan?
Yep. Yeah. Vegan cookie dough.
Okay. So it's vegan cookie dough. I would compete with them because with my infrastructure, my brand identity alone, everything that I say, people are going to know, love, and trust. So I'm going to create a sugar-free vegan cookie brand to compete with their brand, because 9 times out of 10, they probably got sugar or a sweetener in their brand. But mine will cater to people with diabetes, because guess what? I'm also vegan. And I'm saying, yes, this cookie tastes the same, if not better, and it doesn't have all the sweeteners or added additives. And then we will put it on the menu in all of my restaurants, and I'll be competing with that brand. Cookie for cookie.
Cookie for cookie. Boom. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was a masterclass.
I'm
spiraling a little bit right now at how she just whipped that out. I'm like, that. Well, there's a 9-figure entrepreneur.
In big thinking. That's how you
big
know
thinking.
Because she thinks big. Okay, so we're going to ask the audience to play this game with us in the comments. So if y'all come to YouTube, we can see the comments in there. And you can give your own answer. And by the way, just because like Pinky gave certain answers, you might have your own strategy, right? Because Pinky had certain answers based on existing portfolio, existing knowledge she had. So you can play and kind of tell us for yourself who you would invest, compete, or acquire, Oatly, Dough, or Beyond Meat.
Yes. Pinky, is there anything that we haven't asked you about today that you want to make sure you say or talk about?
Yeah, as part of our founder therapy
anything
conversation.
You want to pop off about while you have the opportunity?
Oh, I do.
Okay, let's go.
So as an entrepreneur, oftentimes, and you guys are entrepreneurs, so oftentimes we get to a space where we don't focus on our self-care. You know, people always ask the question, like, how do you focus on self-care? And we come up with this answer that just sounds good. But, like, really, like, you know what I'm saying?
I go for
but
walks. Like, and, you, yeah.
Yeah, like, how do you really focus on self-care? And I made a promise to myself that in 2024, I've always had mind and spirit, right? Mm. But 2024, I'm going to focus on mind, body, and spirit. Hmm. And I'm not just talking about losing weight. I'm talking about being mindful of the food that I consume, right? The body of my energy, making sure that my energy is right, making sure that the people are good for me that are around me. Like, mm-hmm. it's important for me to make sure that that's happening in 2024. And I said that I was going to do a bikini competition. You know, I just had a baby. So, like,
okay.
I'm a trainer. Okay. So I want to be mind, body, and spirit. When I think about Viola Davis, she's mind, body, and spirit, right? Like, I've researched women like her. Angela Bassett is mind, body, and spirit. J-Lo, mind, body, and spirit. These people are dedicated to making sure that every level of who they are, from what I can see, is very disciplined, on point, focused, structured. And that is the lane that I want to get in, because if you want this, you really got to do and apply yourself and do the work. And I'm willing to do the work, because right now I made a joke. I'm like, B minus. I'm like a B minus celebrity. My friends laugh at me. But I'm like, it's important for me to get to a level of power, right? On every level, so that I can make an impact to people around the world. Because remember, when I started this, I just love to help people. Yeah. Like, it brings me joy to see other people be better and to win. And I'm not just saying it. I know that might sound cliche, but if you know me and if you know anything about me, that is really what I love to do. So being focused, mind, body, and spirit will give me the space to be clear and intentional about everything that I do. And I hope other entrepreneurs apply that same vision to themselves for 2024.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey of how you're evolving too, because I think a lot of people think, like, oh, you hit success, you're done. And you're changing and growing and evolving with new goals and new things that you want to work on. So thank you for sharing that. And also, I would love to have you back sometime and we can kind of get an update on how some of these mind, body, spirit, like, things are going.
Do a little check-in.
I'm afraid that I'm going to get pregnant again.
You seem very locked in, though. I love it. And you're reminding me of that quote, discipline creates freedom. Mm. You're like, there is this structure and these three things and this focus and this drive. And I'm like, oh, I can, like, really feel the energy of what you're conveying here and how that's going to up-level you even more. And like you said, it's an evolution. So thank you so, so much for joining us today. That was, like, I'm fired up. I feel like I could go run through a brick wall right now.
Okay, let's do it. Team Brick Wall.
I'll come behind you. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Nick. Yes.
Thank you so much, Pinky.
Thank you. Talk soon.
All right, y'all, that is all for this week's episode of Bossy. And a big thank you, as always, to Pinky and her team for being here today. That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm inspired.
I am too. So put your thoughts in the comments. We love to read them. And as always, thanks for listening to Bossy. We'll see you next week.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.